bum, ba boo ba boo ba ba, ba boo ba boo ba bum, ba boo ba boo ba bum, ba boo ba boo ba ba.
All right, here it is, the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Name it what you want. It's up to you. Whatever you want to name it, you can name it. I'm Bill Left. That's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy. Wendy shall return on Friday. Harry, we were talking about Ray Rayner, the great Ray Rayner, who would have been 100 years old today. Somebody sent this text in. Hi, guys. I remember when I was at Bozo Circus once, and Oliver, that was Ray Rayner's character, Oliver told a joke during a commercial. All the adults laughed, but I didn't understand it. I have always thought that they were telling dirty jokes to the grown-ups. There's something to that, because I was there twice. I was very fortunate as a kid. Friends of ours had the wherewithal when their children were born
to request
to send for tickets as soon as they had kids, knowing it would take 7 years to get the tickets.
Right.
Which a lot of people, wasn't just individual to my friend's family. A lot of people did that. So I got to go twice, and I remember on both occasions they would do that. They would entertain the crowd a little bit, but some parts the kids were more entertained by and some parts the adults. I don't think they were telling them dirty jokes per se, just more adult jokes.
Well, I mean, if you watch like Toy Story or Monsters, Inc.,
yeah,
there are jokes that are definitely just for the parents.
No question about it.
You know, and they're not dirty at all. They're
who started that? Rocky and Bullwinkle.
They might have.
I think Rocky and Bullwinkle were the first ones to say, we'll do jokes that work on different levels for different audience members.
What's the matter you?
Yeah, that's a good example. So for a kid, when you find out that Bullwinkle J. Moose went to his alma mater was What's the Matter You,
right.
You just go, well, that's a funny name for school. But if you're an adult, it makes more sense, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got to go to Bozo Circus once. And what I remember is that my mom bought us gold shirts, gold.
Nice.
Yeah, like not yellow, but like old gold shirts.
Yeah.
And the four of us, Nancy, Harry, Danny, and Billy, had to all wear them. So we wore matching shirts to Bozo Circus. But
didn't Cookie beat you guys up when the show was over?
He did. He hated that color. but I got to play the game at the end.
You did?
Yeah. Not the grand prize game, but they have a second game on Bozo Circus, like at 12:50.
Yeah.
They would play like a different type of game, and the game that I participated in, three boys and three girls, and you had to sharpen a pencil, and the music would play.
Yeah.
And whoever
What's a good pencil sharpening song? I'm trying to think of it.
You know, anything by Led Zeppelin, because you're getting the lead out.
The Point by Harry Nilsson.
that would be a good one.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking of pencil songs.
That's all right.
So the person who went sixth.
Yeah.
You know, did a horrible job.
Yeah.
I went fifth, and I got like an inch, you know, inch and a half better than the person that went sixth. And then I finished fifth out of six.
Oh, Harry.
I got as a token prize, a consolation prize, I got Disney It's a Small World board game.
Oh, that's a fun prize.
Yeah.
You're complaining about that? That's a great
prize.
No,
I'm not complaining. It was great.
Why wouldn't you want that?
But here's the best part about my Bozo story is that, you know, the Cubs had gotten rained out the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And we had these tickets, like you said, it was seven years.
Yeah.
So we were going on the next day. And the Cubs had a doubleheader because it was the last time that the Pirates were in town.
Oh.
So Bozo Circus was not seen that day.
Oh.
Right. So because the doubleheader went like from 12 to 6 or 12 to 7, but they aired it over the weekend.
Oh, that may
so
be better.
We were like the only kids that could watch ourselves on Bozo Circus. Plus, I'm on the game. So I knew that I was going to be playing in the game at 12:50.
So I'm trying to think timeline wise. That would have been before VCRs. You couldn't have taped that.
No, I couldn't. Right.
Oh.
We were still living at the old house. This is like 1969, I think.
At our school, anytime anybody from our school went to Bozo Circus, the school watched that whole episode.
We never
got to watch TV during school. Unless a kid at the school was on Bozo Circus, because there might be, you know, as they were doing, you know, the Magic Arrows before the grand prize game, you might be on TV for a tenth of a second.
Right.
So you'd be, I mean, you were like the most famous kid in the school.
That's totally cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Do you remember when Ray Rayner used to do a thing in the mornings where he was going to do like an arts and crafts project, but he would show you Chauncey's model, right? So he was gonna make a drum. Uh-huh. So it was out of construction paper. So he'd say, well, look at Chauncey's model, and it was done flawlessly. There wasn't a seam out of place. Everything was perfect. And then he would try to make it during, you know, his show, and it wasn't even close to Chauncey's model. Here's what I learned years and years later. Two different people have told me this. I can't substantiate it. I can't prove it. But they said Chauncey was Ray, that he actually would build that before the show and then try to recreate it on the show, and it was never as good because he was pressed for time.
Yeah, he was focusing on doing an entertaining show.
But the perfect model was also his work, because I always used to go, why don't they let Chauncey do this segment? Why don't they bring Chauncey in? He knows what he's doing, but they were one and the same, I've been told.
I believe that. I totally believe it.
Oh, the magic of television.
Yeah, it happens.
Do you remember on Ray Rayner, they would show a show called Diver Dan?
Yes. Oh, yeah, the guy had the old-time, skydiving, underwater breathing uniform. He had, like, the thick helmet.
Yeah.
Like an astronaut 20, uniform.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Right, it was like an astronaut uniform, but he had, like, the deep-sea diver helmet.
And he had some sort of a relationship. He could talk with the underwater creatures.
He was something.
Yeah, that Diver Dan, he had it going on. I have a list of the shows that Ray Rayner was a part of. See, we know him best for his own show, The Ray Rayner Show.
Right.
And then for playing Oliver O'Oliver. But listen to all these shows that he was on here in Chicago.
Okay.
The first one has the greatest title of all time. Ray Rayner was the host of a show called Rayner Shine. A morning show, Rayner Shine with Ray Rayner. Then The Ray Rayner Show. Then The Little Show.
The Little Show?
I don't remember The Little Show.
Was that, did that have anything to do with Tiny Tove?
No, that's Magic Door. That's my friend Magic from Magic Door. Then Popeye's Firehouse.
I don't remember that at all.
That was a show where they only showed old Max Fleischer Popeye episodes, and he would host it.
Are you serious?
And the hosting duties were very, very simple because they didn't go into depth. It wasn't like when you watch one of the movie channels and they're telling you all kinds of fun facts about Glenn Ford.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Popeye was animated, so he would just go, here's Popeye, and then they would show Popeye. There wasn't much going on there. Then he had a similar show to Popeye's Firehouse, simply called Dick Tracy, where they would do the same with Dick Tracy episodes. Then he had Ray Rayner and his friends. Then he had, this is a show that I loved and no one remembers. See if you remember this show. Rocket to Adventure.
Don't remember it.
Rocket to, doesn't that have, like that name just says, oh, this is going to be great. Rocket to Adventure. So on Rocket to Adventure, Ray Rayner was on a space capsule, and every day he had to choose between five panels, and they were all different colors. And if he hit the yellow one, the green one, the blue one, the orange one, or the purple one, that would show a different cartoon every day. But it was already fixed. Like on Monday, it was a certain kind of cartoon. On Tuesday, it was another cartoon. But he would make a big deal out of it. Like he would spacewalk around the capsule. He'd walk really slowly and pretend like he was floating. And then he'd go, let's see which cartoon comes up today on Rocket to Adventure. And then he'd hit the yellow one and you'd see a Laurel and Hardy cartoon.
And this is like right at the time Man's Going to the Moon.
Yeah, it was right. Yeah, it was around the same exact time.
An impactful title.
Whoever. Oh, Rocket to Adventure? I don't know how you come up with a more exciting title to a show. With all accolades to the people who came up with Rain or Shine, because that's also brilliant as well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, his final masterpiece, Bozo Circus, where he was Oliver O'Oliver.
Rain or Shine, very, very funny, very, very solid name for a title. You know, I've been seeing two T-shirts around the city of Chicago so much lately, and one of them is the... one of them is from a show that I believe was popular in the aughts, and the other one is a show that was popular in the 90s. And I can't believe how many shirts I have seen. Have you a guess for a show that would, like, 20 years later have a resurgence? And they're all being worn by younger people that couldn't have been watching.
These are shows.
I'm going to get you the dates right now as to how long these were on.
These are network television shows?
Oh, yeah. All right. Both are sitcoms.
So one of them is going to be probably Seinfeld.
That's a very good guess. You're in the ballpark, but that is not correct.
The Office.
The Office is correct.
Yeah. And friends.
And friends.
Yeah.
You did it. You did it in three guesses.
Can I explain why I know this?
You did that. Well, are you cheating?
No.
Are you reading my mind again?
Here's how I know this.
Yeah.
When you and I were growing up here in Chicago, the two sitcoms, the classic sitcoms that we memorized because they were on every night were The Dick Van Dyke Show
and Andy Griffith.
And Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Because one ran at 6 o'clock on Channel 9 and 6:30.
Yeah.
So because our options were so narrow and because they were great shows, you watched those two shows and you knew them inside out. My kids have no idea about The Dick Van Dyke Show or Andy Griffith, but they can tell you everything that's happened on Friends and The Office and Seinfeld. Everything. They love those shows. Those shows are like the gospel to them.
That's not, and there's like 50, so every Office shirt I see is Dunder Mifflin, you know, the fictitious paper company that they worked for.
Or sometimes with a puzzled Dwight Schrute, it'll just be a picture of Dwight looking puzzled.
He always looks puzzled. He's a new cheer grad, by the way.
Yeah.
But
Rainn Wilson.
But the Friends t-shirts, there's like 30 of them.
Right.
I can't believe how popular they are.
Could you like be any more jealous?
I'll be there for you.
Thank you. Isn't that strange, though, that just a generation later, I'll tell you the other one, one of my daughters goes nuts for, and rightfully so, it's a great show, The New Girl. She watches every episode, sometimes more than once.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's really cute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really well written, and the supporting cast is great. And you can't fault them. I mean, they've picked good shows to idolize. You know, if they were picking horrible shows, I would try to steer them in a different direction.
Right.
But all those shows we mentioned, those are pretty solid.
Lucy, my daughter,
yes,
watches the RuPaul
Drag Race.
RuPaul Drag Race. It's like a competition.
Yeah,
it's like a reality series. But RuPaul is the judge, and they're looking for the best drag queen.
Yeah.
So have you?
That's
seen
Drag Race, isn't it? Or is it called something else now?
I don't know. I just know that there's like.
You're right, Bill. You're right.
Drag
it
Race?
Is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
Do you watch it, Jasmine?
I don't watch it. I have people who watch it, though, my friends.
They watch it for Jasmine. She's too busy. She can't be watching Drag Race.
Come
on.
As I go through the library, so I want to watch something on TV, and as I'm going through the library, it'll be like RuPaul, 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, Lucy, come on. You can watch 8 episodes of this? And so just watch it with me, Dad. And so I watched it, and it's just, I mean, they're like horrible to each other.
Yeah, there's that, isn't there?
Yeah, and I mean, they must be told to play it up, because if you watch anything like The Bachelor or what's the cooking show? The
Angry Chefs shows?
Yeah, the Angry Chef shows.
All the shows are angry with chefs on them, every one of them.
So look twice before you sip that soup.
Right.
But I mean, they're all like friendly to each other in person, and behind their back, they'll be like, well, they wanted Tracy
they're
to
horrible.
Make, right, they wanted Tracy to make a souffle. I'm like, the only thing she can get a raise out of is her boss, you know. But these RuPaul women are like at each other, you know, drag queens. They're like at each other's throats from the start of the show.
Do you know, my wife is the most peaceful person I've ever met in my life. There's no conflict in her mind.
With the possible exception of Kwai Cheng Kane from Kung Fu.
It's close.
Mm-hmm.
It's very close. That said, she has this incredible love for all the Housewife shows. And I don't know if you know this about all the Housewife shows, but after every one of those shows, they do a sit down with Andy Cohen where he analyzes why they hate each other and why they want to fight and punch each other and stuff like that. So you get an hour of them fighting and then another hour of them analyzing why they're fighting. And it's so unlike her to watch those shows, but on an almost nightly basis, they're on. And I can't even criticize, because she goes, you watch cartoons and baseball. And she's right. So,
and you watch the Bugs Bunny baseball cartoon like 30 times.
I can't stop watching that.
Batting order.
He hits the ball, and then he runs to the outfield, and he catches the ball. That's a good ball player.
Batting first, Bugs Bunny. Batting second, Bugs Bunny. Right. Batting third, Bugs Bunny.
Crazy lineup.
Farmio loves those. Ed Farmer loves
those.
Yeah, he does. He sure does. You know, all the housewives, does she get along with all the housewives on the block, or are there two?
In real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. She's not acting out any kind of weird revenge fantasy through those shows, but she's explained to me that it's therapeutic to watch this. But I always say this to her. I always say, if you knew those people in real life, would you spend any time with those women, the real housewives of Atlanta, Beverly Hills, whatever? And she goes, oh, no, I couldn't stand to. And I go, well, why are you so obsessed with watching them then? I don't understand it.
Because it's like you're the fourth wall. You know, you're in the room. You're like where you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting to hear like what's going on in in the enemy's locker room.
Do you know who one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is?
She's
Kim Richards. Do you know who that is?
Kim Richards.
Yeah.
She was.
You can do this. We all believe in you. Come on, do this.
Come on.
You can do this.
I was going to say she's married to a basketball player.
No.
But then I wanted to
You'd
say
be wrong.
It's not Kim Fields.
No.
Kim Richards. Who is it?
She played Prudence on Nanny and the Professor.
Oh, my God.
The little girl from Nanny and the Professor is one of the angry housewives who always wants to fight with
Richard Long and Juliet Mills.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Trent Lemon. And David DeRemus.
Okay.
As Hal and Butch.
You're scaring me.
All right.
You know, I tell you about my neighbor who left a note under the windshield.
No.
I have to tell you about that at some point.
On the air, I hope?
Sure.
All right.
We'll do it on the air.
All right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a break, and then Harry has a story of the mysterious note left on the windshield. Stay tuned for more Rocket to Adventure on WGN. Kim Gordon is here, and Kim, I already told you this, but I'm going to tell you this on the air. You look just glamorous.
Oh, thank you.
You look so glamorous.
Picture day.
Is that what it is? I mean, you always look nice, don't get me wrong,
thank
but today
you.
You're just,
thank
wow.
You. Thank
Very
you.
Impressive.
You know, Kim, I'm wondering, because I am sort of vertically challenged.
Yeah.
I always, when we did picture day, I always had to sit Indian style on the floor.
Where the bat boy would sit.
Right. And there'd be like a little sign, you know, Miss Grieger's kindergarten class or whatever.
You able to hold the sign?
I would have to have like a hand on it because I was like so short.
Yeah.
And all these, you know, the tall kids, they just stood in the background. Now, did you ever have to deal with that?
Always. But, you see how big I am? You know, I'm always in the front row.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's cool today because we can see ourselves if somebody
had
a
noticed.
Picture. But back then it was like, oh, man.
I'm always in the front.
Yeah. How do you do with having, for people who don't know, about once a year here at WGN, they do this at other stations as well, they bring in professional quality photographers and they take your picture and we, you know, we use them for press stuff. Are you good with that? Do you do good on that?
It makes me very uncomfortable.
Oh.
The lady said, you know, I said, this is why I'm in radio, because I don't like doing this.
Oh.
Come on.
So.
Oh.
You're selling yourself short.
Don't say short.
Have the face for radio.
I like when people say that to us, and they act like we've never heard it before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a face for radio. Huh? Yeah, let's see what I did.
Ah, we
got
it.
Do you know what's, you know, I go to these meetings, I'm not allowed to say what they are.
Yeah.
But I go to these meetings, and you know, if you looked it up in a phone book, you could find them right away.
Yeah.
And I just don't know where
alphabetically.
Alphabetically. I just don't know where you'd find a phone book right away. But someone will say like it's their 17th year anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, which is awesome, and there's always one person in at the meeting that'll go, the 18th year is the hardest.
Wow. Does that somebody go, hey, how about a drink for Henry? It's 18 years. Does somebody do that?
No.
That's not funny.
No.
All right, let's do some news. Here's Kim Gordon.
Mayor Lightfoot wants to reduce the burden of vehicle ticket fines. She says disproportionately impacts black and brown families in Chicago. Among the mayor's proposals to city council, ending the practice of suspending driver's license, extending time to pay, and reducing late fees for vehicle sticker violations. The Trump administration wants to tighten automatic eligibility requirements for the food stamp program. The Department of Agriculture says the changes would close a loophole that enables those receiving minimal benefits from a needy families program to be eligible automatically for food stamps. About 3 million people could see their benefits cut. And a Chicago woman has been banned for life from Disney. She was angry her fast pass to get on the Tower of Terror ride in Disneyland wasn't valid. The lines can be quite long at that popular ride. Police say she punched a Disney cast member in the face, pushed buttons that could have affected the ride. The 23-year-old was not charged. Banned for life.
Not charged?
Wow.
I guess the Disney staff member did not want to press charges.
Oh, how lucky for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I will point out to you the obvious. Wendy is currently at Disneyland in Anaheim, not Disney World.
I thought about that. But we know it's not Wendy because...
Right.
A, she's, I don't believe she's 23.
She is not 23.
And B, remember when we talked to her, she said there was no way she was getting on that ride.
Right. Right. Wow.
But you get out there, though, and you get sucked in by the mouse.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to convince her, Bill and I, to ride Tower of Terror. She wouldn't even go near it.
You got to do it.
It's the best.
I took an old girlfriend down to Disney World for a vacation, and I'm romantic.
Yes.
And We got there late Thursday, and we went to the park, and someone said, oh, you only get a couple hours in the park, but there's no lines.
Yeah.
So we were like just going to Pirates of the Caribbean,
sure.
Small World, all these rides, just yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
So two of the first three times I went to Disneyland in California, and I think they've had, sadly, like six fatalities. Two of the first three times that my brothers and I and my sister went there, people died.
Oh, no.
Once it was a drunk lady who got out of the Matterhorn. Okay.
When you're not supposed to get out
right,
of the Matterhorn?
Right, it was going up slowly. Yeah, and then the other time it was like somebody was like leaning out of Skyway to... and so they got
fell
rid
out of the bucket?
They got, yeah, they got
the
rid of those.
And fell out of the bucket at the same time.
Yes. That's why they got rid of those. What was that called?
Skyway to
Tomorrowland.
Fantasyland, yeah, yeah. Skyway to Tomorrowland, yeah.
Wow. So explain this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do we have to take a break or are we...
We do, but...
All right.
Do you want to take
just really quick. Wendy won't go on any of the rides, any of the thrill rides at the Disney parks, but we've had this ongoing thing. They're building a building two houses down, two floors down, two buildings down from mm-hmm. us, right? So I always say, if you gave me $1 million, I wouldn't ride up and down on that cable. And Wendy always goes, I would do it. Come on. It's no big deal. But she won't go on Tower of Terror or Splash Mountain.
To me, that's 1,000 times scarier.
Way scarier.
Right.
Way scarier.
The ride has been tested and engineered.
Well, you
and
would hope OSHA has given the approval on this or whoever, but still.
Right.
I remember
that's scarier.
We used to go. We were little kids. We used to go on like kind of construction elevator. You know, when the building was
Being
built. Well, we just did it. You know, you didn't have time to think. But I remember the coolest part of it wasn't that you were going up this elevator that like didn't have four walls.
Yeah.
But it was that you got to wear a construction helmet, like a real one. Like if I get hit on the 17th floor, the construction helmet
it'll
ain't
save your life.
Diddly.
No,
right. Sure, it will.
But you look cool.
Oh, yeah. So cool! All right, we'll take a break and then more news.
Sports and weather next on WGN.
Kim, what do you make of this text? Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Harry, and that's Kim. Is it okay? Now, this is building off of me telling you how nice you look today.
Thank you.
You always look nice. We had pictures today. You look extra special nice. Is it okay still for women to tell women that they look good, but not men to tell women that they look good? Do you follow me?
Yeah.
All right. So the text is saying...
It's okay for women to say... Like if Wendy were sitting here and she said to me, oh my gosh, she looks so great for pictures. But for you to say it, you shouldn't have.
Right.
But I think that's ridiculous.
We're
friends. It's nice of you to compliment
me.
And when it comes to lecherous men, Bill's about as benign as you can get.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? And even if he was... coming on to me or whatever, I'll take the compliment. I don't get them that often.
Well, you should.
I have to admit.
You look really nice today.
All right, Harry.
That's
where we draw the line.
I'm just showing
that's
you how I'm showing you the in comparison.
That's right.
I do have to say that I am much more reticent to just come up to somebody on average and compliment them on their looks because I don't want anything extra to ever be read into it.
Right.
You know? And that wouldn't have happened a few years ago, but I'm more careful now.
Well, you have to be, which is sad.
Isn't it?
It is sad.
It is.
Because it's hard to be a nice person these days.
And who doesn't want to look nice? Everyone wants to look nice, and who doesn't want a compliment from time to time? But because things have, for the most part, for the good, been brought to light, you just have to be more careful is all.
There's always the bad eggs out there that ruin it for everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, you look nice today, too, by the way.
Really?
Thanks. Mm.
Why, this whole thing? I only wear it when I don't care what I look like.
But you don't have on a jersey today, Harry. Is it a special day?
I know. I was going to wear a jersey. You know, I've got a bunch of golf shirts, and I figure I shouldn't wear a T-shirt, you know, in here, although I have before. I was going to wear a jersey, and then at the last second I thought, like, you know, somebody might get upset, you know, if it's not a Sox jersey because we're the Sox station. And I'm not saying Cubs jersey is what I was going to wear. I've got like a dozen different jerseys.
There was a time, though, that was your default setting, is if it was just a regular day, you were wearing a jersey, right?
Yeah. At the other station, I don't think I ever wore anything else but a jersey.
Right. But at a sports station...
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's right.
I know Wendy likes them. Wendy always tells me that I look good. Hey, maybe... Wendy always tells me that I look... You know, she loves the jersey look.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of them.
There was a baseball game I went to with you once where you were wearing a Bears jersey... a Cubs hat, and Bulls sweatpants.
That is a true Chicago.
That's a lot of teamage.
You're only missing a Blackhawks.
Right,
something.
You didn't have any Blackhawks stuff on.
That's what you think.
We almost got kicked out of Wrigley. Now I'm sorry I have a vivid imagination. I used to welcome my vivid. No, those days are just ended.
Oh, those days are gone.
Okay, so Harry, when you know, when I get dressed in the morning, I decide, okay, I want to wear this because I want this look or that look. So how do you choose a jersey if there's not a game day? And you're wearing it for a specific
reason. Great question.
Well, it's a great question, and I do spend a lot of time on it. So what happens usually is there's somebody is like in the news or something is going on. Like I wore the Mike Vick jersey when I got called in at the other station because Mike Vick got a second chance and became like a great hero.
Right.
For dogs that are in trouble.
Right.
Now he owns dogs. So yeah. It was all about a second chance that day. And that's why I wore that. But like today I was going to wear Illinois stuff because it would have been not only Ray Rayner, but it would have been my dad's birthday.
Oh.
You know, and right. He went to Illinois. So I was going to wear like Illinois stuff. But there's always a
meaning.
So now every time I see you, I'm going to need to know the story behind the jersey.
Oh, absolutely.
You should write a book about that, the story behind the jersey.
Think about it.
Call it New Jersey.
A couple of years ago, I was fortunate enough to have my friend Grant Mulvey invite me to a Blackhawks game. My best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey.
You just throw that out there. Wait, let me get my catcher's mitt out. Go ahead, drop that name again.
So Grant Mulvey not only invites me to a Blackhawks game, but
Mr.
all-time high Blackhawks goal in a game. So he said, and we'll sit in the Blackhawks suite, right? Oh. So that's going to be nice. So I'm up there enjoying the game with Grant and other Blackhawk alumni, because it's all guys that have played for the Blackhawks and me. You could pretty much look and say, remember that song, One of These Things Is Not Like the Other?
Yes.
That song was sung several times during the Blackhawks game. So I'm trying to figure out something strange, but I can't figure out what it is. There's something weird. It's Grant Mulvey. It's a bunch of other guys, former Blackhawks, and me. And other than the fact that I shouldn't have been with them, something was different, but I couldn't figure out what. And then finally, in the second period, I figured out what it was. Anytime I've ever been to a Blackhawks game, everybody's wearing, or the majority of the people, are wearing Blackhawks jerseys.
Right.
But up there, among guys who wore the jersey professionally,
nobody wears them.
Nobody wears them.
Not cool.
It's so not cool. Plus, you'd have to decide, do I wear my own jersey? Because that would look bad.
Yeah.
Or do I wear another guy's jersey? Because that would look strange.
Right.
No, I would never wear my own jersey. I would never do
that. If you were a pro player, you wouldn't show up wearing your own jersey.
There was a guy in the Bengals who got a DUI, and he was dressed wearing his Bengals jersey.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad for everybody.
Yeah, you know, I just remembered one of the reasons I wore this particular golf shirt is because Cochran is a golfer, and I thought he might notice it. And there's a story that goes with the shirt. This is the night in Arizona where I accidentally locked myself out of my hotel room in just my underwear and T-shirt.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
I love the way you threw that in.
Was Cochran with you?
No, Cochran was not
you
there.
You don't have to answer that if you don't want to, Harry. That's optional.
He did tell me three times today how good I looked.
That's strange.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. It's so interesting that there's a backstory to your clothing. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Don't you just put stuff on because it's there?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about like the look or the style or something. But.
Yeah.
No, there's always a reason.
That's the beauty. I on a daily basis, dress like Schroeder, so it's very easy to pick out clothing.
Now, I do have some things that I'm like, oh, you know what? I just can't, like, a dress that I wore to somebody's funeral. I'm like, oh, I just don't want to wear that.
It's,
you know,
got
you
a bad
do
history.
Have a, has a reminder.
What if you like wore it off the shoulders? You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
No.
You know, but
it still has a funeral
that,
feel to it.
Something has a feel, but I have friends who remember every single bit of clothing where they wore to certain things and can't wear it again. And I'm not like that.
But don't they only remember that about what they wore? They wouldn't remember it about what somebody else wore, would they? Or would they?
Oh, some people. Some
really?
Of my friends, I think that's a women's thing.
Kim,
yes.
Every time we go somewhere extra special nice, my wife needs new clothes for it. And I always say, I bet, like, I'll give you an example. Dave Plyer, who works here, has a big Christmas party every year. So every year, my wife gets a new ensemble for the party. And I say, you could probably wear what you wore a year or two or 3 years ago. I don't think anyone would remember. And I get what I call the ice stare, which means...
I was going to say, oh, that is in the women's code of never
going
to happen.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know that now. It took me a while, but I do know that
now. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
She's not mean at all.
Right.
But she can convey the essence of... You know I'm going to get new clothes. Don't even mess with this.
Yeah.
Either. And then we go clothes shopping.
I'm going to a wedding on Saturday. I guarantee you I have
something
eight cocktail
new.
Dresses in my closet that would be more than fine.
Yes.
No, not going
to
happen.
You have to get something new for this.
I did.
Are you sitting on the groom's side again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not this time.
Luckily, not
I'm
this
on
time.
On the bride's side.
There you go. There you go. Monday Night Football, I'll always wear one of the two teams it's playing. Or Thursday Night Football.
You will?
Wear. Yeah, sure.
The team that you want to win, maybe well, for financial reasons.
But then you have like lucky jerseys. As you know, I'm a Packers fan.
Yeah.
I know. That's where the cool level drops.
There are certain jerseys that I have to wear because it's my lucky jersey. Whenever I wear it, they win.
Oh.
And my kids make me wear it.
Oh. Well, that's got... Yeah, why would you tamper with that? Let's talk to Matt. Matt's on line one. Matt, how are you?
I am great, Bill. Hello,
nice to
Harry.
Talk to you.
Hi, Matt.
Matt, wait, Harry comes from sports.
Uber driver from Sundays.
Harry comes from sports radio, where on sports radio we'd have to say, it's Matt from Hanover Park, or it's Matt from, it's always a location along with your name.
Yeah, or it's like a nickname.
Yeah.
Madhouse
Southside
Matt.
Maddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
Matt from Wrigleyville.
Oh, go ahead, please. Matt from Wrigleyville. Yeah, Matt, you have a theory about Wendy, huh?
Yes. Well, I have many theories about Wendy. But the one that we're talking about today is the fact that I know why she wants to go down the cable, but not the Tower of Terror ride or other rides.
All right, so for people just joining us, Wendy and I have this ongoing bet. There's a big building being built near us with this cable that brings supplies up and down, and I said I wouldn't ride that cable for $1 million, and Wendy laughs and goes, I'd do it for far less than that. But she won't ride any of the roller coasters, the thrill rides at Disney. Why do you think?
Well, she would have control over how her cable ride per se was set up. She'd be involved in setting it up. She'd know what's going on. I won't go on roller coasters. Frankly, it's not the fact that I'm scared of heights. I'm terrified that the thing's going to pop off the damn track and I'm going to go fly you.
Yep.
That's what scares me. That's why I don't go on roller coasters. Now, frankly, if I were going down that cable and I know exactly what cable you're talking about, that would be a lot of fun. I would never do it. But it still would be a lot of fun. Okay. And Harry,
yes?
I really want to know why you got that note.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's coming. Matt, thank you for reminding me. That story's coming up next, I promise.
By the way, if you were on a roller coaster that flew off the track, at that point, you still have to keep your arms and legs inside the car?
Yes, they ask that you still remain with all your arms and legs inside the car. Matt, thank you for the phone call. Harry will tell the story in a minute.
And no flash photography.
Right.
Right. Rules are rules, you guys. You can't break the rules. All right. The request lines are open, Harry. And what the listeners want to know is, what was the note you found on your car?
Right. Okay. So we have...
Can you start it over for me? Because I don't know where you're...
Oh, he didn't tell any of it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's all fresh and new.
We live kind of like where Evanston meets Skokie, Skevinston. And we live on a cul-de-sac with four smaller cul-de-sacs. And a lot of people know a lot of people, and everybody's friendly. And most people park on the outside of the circle. So, Peapod or garbage trucks, or anytime a big truck comes through, they'll have plenty of room and they can get through.
Mm-hmm.
So this one neighbor, and he asked me about 3 years ago if my daughter would water his plants when he went out of the country.
Yeah.
I said, she'll be out of town. He goes, well, could you do it?
Oh.
I go, how many plants are there? You know, he goes,
how neighborly of you.
He goes, there's about four or five plants back there.
Yeah.
He goes, see the front yard? I go, yeah. He goes, just do that and then go in the back and do those four or five plants. So the first day I go out there, he's got freaking bush gardens in his backyard. He's got, like, I counted, there were 36 plants.
Yeah.
And I've got to get the hose. I've got to get
And he said
extended.
Four?
He said four or five. But, he's a nice enough guy. He's a good guy. I'm happy to do it. It's the neighborly thing to do it. So he doesn't
like
it.
He's not an accountant or something, is he?
No. So he doesn't like it when we park in front of his house.
Yeah.
And the reason I know that is because I got a call from one of my other neighbors and said, dude, I would never read your mail, but, because so-and-so left a note under your wiper, which I read. And the note he left, well, I have a picture of it because nobody would believe me, but the note he read was, could you please park on your side of the street? This is my side of the street, and I need my family to be able to park here and not two or three houses down.
This was before.
It's not like
after.
It's mid-February and there's 8 feet of snow. I mean, it's
right.
A beautiful day.
Right.
How far are we going here?
And it's like.
Was this before or after you watered the plants?
Oh, this is years after.
And this is the same guy?
It's the same guy.
Wow. He doesn't own the street, right?
Does he own the street, Harry?
He does. You know, he does not own the street. And the reason I know that is because it doesn't say street owner.
No.
And if we, you know, it's the same for everybody. If you want to park by your house, but there's cars in front of your house, you don't take it personally.
Right.
You just find
another spot.
Find another spot. So that day you have to walk like an extra 50 yards or 80 yards. And this guy left a note on my under
all
my
right,
windshield.
So there's a couple ways of handling this. You could either talk to him about it and try to find some peaceful compromise, or you could continue to park and ruin his life. Which did you choose?
I chose to go. So I called him right away. I called him like the next day and said, hey, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
And then I bumped into him at the Evanston movie theater.
Did you have a knife grinding machine in the background?
No, I didn't.
I would have played that really loud.
I bumped into him at the Evanston movie theater and I said hi to him and his girlfriend, and he didn't say hi back to me. And, like, we were right there.
Because he didn't recognize you, or
no,
he's mad at
no,
you?
No, we were five because he's mad at me.
Oh.
So I went over to, you know, on a summer day, I saw him in front of his house.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, can we talk about this? And he goes, he starts yelling at me. Like, you know, you guys do whatever you damn well please, and you don't care about your neighbors, and don't you know that this is a community? And
great impression, by the way.
It's like he's here in the room.
I feel like he's here.
It's like he's right here in the studio.
That's a sensational impression, seriously.
And I said, you know what? You're making me want to park on your lawn.
Oh, good for you.
I said, this is incredibly rude of you that you would not call me or knock on the door.
Yes.
And he goes, well, I knocked on the door and your wife started yelling at me. I said, well, she probably thought you were me. So I go, all you got to do is call me or knock on the door.
Come and knock on our door.
Yeah. You know, we've been waiting for you.
Yeah.
So the guy was just screaming at me, and he goes, back off, back off. I'm afraid you're going to hit me. I'm like, what kind of damage could I do?
And this is all going on at the movie theater?
No, this is going on in front of his house.
Oh, this is the next. Okay.
So
how old is he?
He's like 65.
Yeah. All right.
And he starts yelling and swearing.
Yeah.
And so, like, the neighbor and her young kids come out behind their house and
stuff. Now it's an incident, Harry.
Right. And I went over there to say, you know what? We will try to park away from your house.
Right.
I go, if you have any specific times when you have people coming over, please call or text me.
I'm not on his side. You understand that.
Yes.
But I'm just curious. Why would you park in front of his house when you have a house of your own that you could park in front of?
Because I'm on the side of the street that nobody parks on. So I'm on the inner circle.
Okay.
Our house is on the inner circle of the cul-de-sac, and his is on the outer circle.
Oh, it's like the Matrix.
Yes. Everybody's wearing shades. All the cars that park, I'd say 80% of them park on the outside.
Oh, they do? Why is he only blaming you? Why doesn't he blame the others?
I don't know, because we were right there. We're right in front of him. But I'd rather park closer to my house and have a shorter walk.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So did you get it resolved?
Here's how we resolved it. Is I saw him at the New Year's Day party that somebody had in our neighborhood. And I'm sorry, the 4th of July party that someone just had.
Did you buy him a vodka gimlet?
And should have.
That would have changed
everything. I said hi to him and he didn't say hi to me again. And he was the guy
You're the better man, in my opinion.
You're not? You can't find a better man. But he was just so unbelievably rude, and I went over there to bury the hatchet.
Jasmine, Harry can't hear this part, but call his neighbor on the air so we can put him on the air. Harry can't hear it. Don't worry. Just call his neighbor. We'll fix this on the air.
So, I mean, just all you got to do is just be friendly and ask, and I'm happy to do it. There's no need to.
Is the neighborhood torn? Is the neighborhood we're on Harry's side or we're on the angry guy's side?
I mean, really, I only told two people about it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I'm not surprised he wrote that.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. He's got a reputation as being surly.
You know who he is? He's the mean old guy on Scooby-Doo at the end.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids.
Right. That's who he is.
He's that guy?
Yeah, he's that guy.
Oh, Harry. I'm sorry you have to go through this.
Well, it's okay. It's nice. You know, I mean, it takes some of the pressure off me when Wendy's yelling at him.
Well, you
silver lining.
Maybe he needs to see the new Mr. Rogers movie coming out. Won't You Be My Neighbor? Have you guys seen the trailer?
Yes.
Tom Hanks.
Looks really good, doesn't
unbelievable.
It?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like that Jim Carrey show that he...
it's on Showtime, and I don't have Showtime, so I've not seen it. But it's that, I know it's a similar premise, right? It's a TV show host.
He's Mr. Rogers. It's not Mr. Rogers, but he's the kids' TV show host that everybody's grown up with, but he's got an extreme dark side.
Oh.
It's probably the best thing I've ever seen Jim Carrey do.
Oh.
What's it called?
It's called...
you can tell us.
I'll get it in a second.
Come on. You can do this.
What's
Put
it called?
Put your thinking cap on. Do this.
You know what? I can look it up.
No, Harry.
Jim Carrey show. Kidding Around. Something like that.
Kidding?
Kidded?
Just kidding.
Just kidding? Like just the word kidding.
The word kidding.
Yeah. I think. That's it. Kidding.
Yeah.
He's great. He's
How
great.
Many
Frank,
episodes?
Frank, Lange- How many Frank Langella is his dad. It's been one
TV's
season.
TV's Dracula?
Frank Langella? Yes.
He was Dracula on TV for a year.
Yes, he was.
All right, we must take a break. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out and helping Harry through a very difficult time.
Thank you, Kim.
In his life.
And hey, you look good today.
There you go. That's nice. All right, more after this. It's Bill and Harry on WGN. Harry is our returning champion. You now have the option to come back and play again tomorrow against two new contestants. Would you like to take me up on my offer or say no thank you?
Bill, we're going to risk everything.
Yes.
We're going to come back tomorrow and in a jersey.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. Very, very exciting. All right. Harry will be back tomorrow. Jim Toronto on Thursday. I hope I'm reading this name right. Wendy Snyder on Friday.
Make her sound like she's a hockey player.
Wendy Snyder.
There you go.
I Frenched her name up. How about that? All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Tune in again tomorrow for more exciting adventures. Bye, Harry.
Bye, Bill.